Hello, everyone, and welcome to another Compliance Week news podcast for the week of Monday, June 27th. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week, and today we are going to talk about financial reporting and XBRL technology. That is the data language that companies must now use when they submit financial statements to the Securities and Exchange Commission to make their data more easily readable by computers and therefore the investors using them. The SEC first mandated that companies start using XBRL for their financial filings back in 2008, and that was in a program that was going to be phased in over 3 years. Well, the compliance deadline for that third year, which is when all public companies, large and small alike, had to start using XBRL, that has gone into effect this month. So we've decided to take a look at some of the fine points of XBRL compliance this week as companies fully move into the XBRL era. So joining us today to talk about XBRL compliance is Jill Radloff. She is a partner at the law firm of Leonard Street & Dinard, and she has been keeping an eye on the regulations around XBRL. So Jill, thank you for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you for having me, Matt.
So first question is just maybe if we can discuss how XBRL implementation has gone so far and whether or not it may be as difficult as people thought. Large accelerated filers have had to do at least some XBRL compliance since 2009, but now they have to start tagging all of their financial data, even in the footnotes and the tables. And now also small filers, meanwhile, are confronting XBRL for the very first time this summer. So has all of this been as onerous, do you think, as the cynics have feared?
Unfortunately, yes. I think that there has been as onerous as everyone expected it to be. There's been significant time put in by everyone involved in understanding the process and preparing for it. Mm-hmm. The footnote detailed tagging in particular is extremely burdensome. And then there's also been some traps for the unwary as you go. There's been significant confusion on positive and negative numbers and getting those tagged correctly.
Yep.
There's also been quite a bit of confusion on using the SEC standard tags and when you use the custom tags and people determining when to go back and forth between those. As you mentioned, you know, the smaller issuers had been hoping for this exemption, and that just doesn't look like that's going to happen. So they are, in fact, going to have to comply and do it now quickly.
And the guidance that's come from the SEC or the Financial Accounting Standards Board, has that been sufficient or helpful?
There has been guidance, and the other thing we would say is that the XBRL office at the SEC is very helpful. They answer the phone calls. They help the people while they're on the phone. You know, we're not sure if that's going to continue as they continue as the deadline approaches. Mm-hmm. And their resources may get more limited, but that office is very helpful to walk people through as they have specific questions.
Now, let me go out on a limb here and guess that at least some companies are not yet 100% prepared for their XBRL deadlines. What are the grace periods that they can rely on as they try to work their way through their first wave of XBRL-tagged financial statements?
Sure. For the initial filing, which is going to be for calendar year-end issuers this upcoming second quarter 10-Q, mm-hmm. the initial filing that anyone makes using the XBRL exhibit data can be done by an amendment that you would file within 30 days after the due date for that Q. Mm-hmm. So you just have, for that first filing, 30 days that you can do it by an amendment. That's only available if you haven't voluntarily provided any earlier XBRL data.
Mm-hmm.
The thing to note that makes this even easier is there's no certifications that are needed when you do that amendment because the certifications don't cover the XBRL exhibit.
Okay.
And the other thing, for the larger filers that are now doing their detail footnote tagging, they also have that same ability to file by amendment within 30 days on the detail footnote tagging portion as well.
Okay.
So the initial filings get this additional 30-day grace period. There's a temporary hardship exemption as well, mm-hmm. and that's available when you experience unanticipated technical difficulties. The SEC doesn't say what those technical difficulties could be, But how you do that is you don't file the exhibit at all, then you include a separate document with a legend on it that says you're going to file your XBRL exhibit within 6 business days.
Mm-hmm.
And you can use that at any time. That's not just on the initial filings. Again, you're supposed to have unanticipated technical difficulties before you do that, and that gives you another 6 business days to file the exhibit on the with the SEC filing and post it on your corporate website.
Now, let's say that you've submitted your XBRL tagged financials, and then at some point in the future you have discovered an error. What might be the process to get that filing amended or resubmitted somehow?
Well, the first thing I'd say is take a deep breath. The good news is the SEC built in a process for that for the first 2 years,
mm-hmm.
and there is no anti-fraud liability for the first 2 years. As long as the company makes a good faith attempt to comply with the XBRL requirements, and then as soon as an error is found, if you promptly amend it to correct it. Promptly is a facts and circumstance test, but the key, the SEC does make it clear that if you do it within the latter of 24 hours after you discover the error or 9:30 a.m. on the next business day, then that's definitely considered promptly.
Mm-hmm.
So the steps that we would recommend that you take is, you know, obviously get ready to correct it as soon as possible. Again, you don't need the certifications to do the amendment to make the correction. One thing that companies may want to think about ahead of time is determining whether or not when they if they were to find such an error, if they need to tell their audit committee or the auditors or their legal counsel. You know, have a process in place in order to be ready to fix that right away.
Mm-hmm.
And determine who has the authority to go ahead and file that amendment to be ready to go on that, since the timeline is pretty short in order to fall within the safe harbor.
Okay. Any other advice on XBRL compliance that you would want to recommend to people as they're getting ready for their first filings or their first detailed filings?
We don't have a lot of specifics there. I think the importance, again, is to just be prepared. There is, as we've mentioned, you know, some leeway in this first one in terms of timing. It is obviously a significant requirement because if you haven't complied, then you're deemed not to be current on your 34 Act reporting, and you wouldn't be able to use an S3 or an S8, and you wouldn't be able to use Rule 144 resale exemptions.
Okay.
Now, those you'll get back to current status, and you'd again be eligible as soon as you filed your XBRL exhibit. There's no then waiting period or 1 year period. But it's obviously significant that you make sure that you can make these filings so that you continue to be current on the 34 Act reporting.
And one last question. You had touched on this earlier when you mentioned the SEC's Office of Interactive Disclosure, but I'm trying to get a sense of how the SEC might be trying to be cooperative rather than punitive with companies as they commit to their XBRL filings. We're not seeing any harsh punitive actions if you have any error or anything like that, are we? I mean, this is much more of a friendly outreach and trying to encourage companies to get their filings in order?
That's what we're seeing as well, although, again, I mean, there's not a much leeway in terms of the S3 and S8 eligibility or that sort of thing. But the answer is basically, you know, get it in and then you'll be eligible again.
Okay.
So I think that's correct.
All right. Well, Jill, that is all the time we have today, but you covered plenty of ground for us, so thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Matt.
And again, everybody, that was Jill Radloff. She is a partner at the law firm of Leonard, Street & Dinard, talking with us today about XBRL technology and the compliance deadline all public companies are now facing to integrate XBRL into their financial filings with the SEC. That is all for this week's podcast. I'm Matt Kelly, editor of Compliance Week. Thank you all for listening, and I hope you'll join us again next time.